This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and welcome to all of our new listeners out there at KERA in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the program. Thanks so much for listening. Let me tell you a little 21st century news story, okay? When I heard a bit of a radio report last Friday, I mean, I was shocked. I couldn't get the internet since my home was still cut off from Sandy flood damage. All I heard was something about Obama praying for Petraeus's family. I assumed that David Petraeus must have died in a plane crash or something. I grabbed my smartphone, headed to an internet hotspot in the neighborhood, and the reality was even more of a shock. Of course, you know the outlines of this story. Retired four-star general David Petraeus admitted publicly to an extramarital affair and stepped down as head of the CIA. It will not be, it's safe to say, much of a Veterans Day today for David Petraeus. The woman with whom he had the affair, his biographer Paula Broadwell, has been a guest several times on this program.
Well, I thought it would be sort of fun to interview him on a run and you know, challenge him as a woman. I didn't think he'd expect that I could run with him. But I brought along a tape recorder, a little digital recorder, and we went for a run. But he's got this trick with his mentees when he runs. He starts to pick up the pace. So after a couple of miles, no one could really speak anymore, and I just decided to try to keep up with him, which I did, but it was a foot race at the end. And I think it kind of established some rapport between us, and physical fitness has been a sort of common ground that led to this.
Well, she, of course, is not referring to led to this as the scandal that's currently in the headlines, but that is Paula Broadwell on The Takeaway back in January of this year talking about her book, All In, The Education of General David Petraeus. More education to come, apparently. Petraeus himself has been on this program. Friends of the general say the affair began after he retired from the military and 2 months after he started his post as director of the CIA. That relationship, these sources say, ended about 4 months ago. And it came to light because of threatening emails from Broadwell to another woman, emails threatening enough to cause this other woman to inform the FBI. And, of course, more details likely to emerge here. David Petraeus is not going away. He still is in a position of responsibility on many matters before the U.S. Congress. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But joining us now is retired Colonel Peter Mansour, former executive officer to General David Petraeus, and now professor of military history at Ohio State University. Professor, this is a shocker.
You know, I think everyone who's ever known General Petraeus has been absolutely stunned by this news. Never in a million years would I have thought that he would engage in this kind of morally reprehensible conduct, and it's been a shocker for sure.
What sort of a threat, and as someone who, you know, understands national security, what sort of a risk does this kind of behavior pose to the nation for someone engaging in this activity at that level?
It's a potential risk if someone had found out and used it to try to blackmail him. But in this case, you know, I know both Paula Broadwell and General Petraeus. I don't think there was any risk between those two. But yes, I mean, potentially there could be some danger in the wrong hands.
And as far as you know, both of these individuals, a relationship seemed out of the question and surprising to you. They're both responsible individuals in your view.
Well, it takes two to say yes to a relationship, so they're both at fault. I think that Paula Broadwell betrayed the trust that General Petraeus placed in her. And for his part, you know, he engaged in the kind of conduct that one should not at any level, but especially at the highest levels. And he knows he screwed up. He blames no one but himself.
Let's take the other view on this, and that is, you know, let's imagine that we're maybe a little more French than American, and it's all well and good for us to be moral policemen here, but does this kind of thing have much at all to do with the running of the CIA, and do we lose General Petraeus's expertise for no real good reason here?
Now, that's an interesting point, because once the affair became public, at that point, there was obviously no longer a risk of blackmail, and the president could simply have said, I'm not going to accept your resignation. We now know about this. It's a personal matter. You can, you know, have some time to deal with your family, but I want you in the job.
And that did not happen in this case, and it seems to be Petraeus's choice, yes?
I think that he wanted to spend some time trying to heal the rift with his wife, Holly, and you know, to reconnect with the family and the kids. He's been, you know, ridden pretty hard over the past decade, and quite frankly, he could use some time off.
Let's talk about that legacy over the past decade. I mean, on some level, do you think that this tragedy came about because of someone really in a presumptive bubble of absolute success? He could virtually do no wrong. He was relied upon by presidents to determine the ends and beginnings of wars. This is an individual who was surrounded by people who told him, essentially, he was the most brilliant man in the room.
Well, I didn't always tell him that, but I think a couple of things are at play here. One is Paula Broadwell is exactly the kind of person that appeals to him. Young, energetic, you know, very physically fit, with some degree of academic prowess. And he surrounds himself with people like that. Now, in most cases, it works out fine. In this one case, obviously, there's an attraction that developed between them. But the second thing is that when he retired in 2008, or I'm sorry, in last year, he went off to the CIA. He didn't take anyone from his, you know, his retinue with him. So you're right. In the military, you're surrounded by people who you can confide in, who you can go on morning runs with. In this case, he's off by himself at the CIA, and Paula Broadwell was that person who made herself available to continue to connect with him, and obviously an attraction developed.
Do you think that he found the job at CIA frustrating on some level?
No, he loved the job at the CIA. He had a good relationship with the president and the national security team. He said it was the best job in the world. It was, you know, great organization, good people, wonderful mission. And he is very, very sad that, you know, he threw that all away with his conduct.
He must have understood that the FBI routinely monitors people in senior positions for these kinds of security, potential security lapses. Is this an interagency sort of takedown by the FBI, or is this General Petraeus really not watching his own back?
Yeah, you know, I really can't comment on that. He has said that, you know, I resigned not due to Benghazi or any other sort of reason. It was purely my morally reprehensible conduct. And, you know, I need to spend time now trying to heal my family.
So finally, I mean, up until Friday afternoon, about the worst thing I'd ever heard anyone say about David Petraeus is that he overused PowerPoint. This is an extraordinary come down here.
You know, it is, but I think it's a temporary one. I think in the long scheme of things, this will be a temporary blip on an otherwise stellar record of public service. He'll be remembered in the long run primarily for what he did in the Iraq War, especially in 2007 and 2008 during the surge when, you know, he helped turn around a war that was nearly lost. But I think what's going to happen here is General Petraeus will entertain a position in academia if he's offered one. I think that's a side of his personality he'd like to explore. But I think several years down the line, we could very well see David Petraeus back in public service.
After a round of some family counseling, I suspect.
Among other things, yes.
Retired Colonel Peter Mansour, former executive officer to General David Petraeus, now professor of military history at Ohio State University. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
It's very much the present in Washington, D.C., where Petraeus's fate is now a full-scale shakeup of the national security team of the Obama administration. Members of Congress have some say in this matter, as well as the president. Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. I mean, this rippled through the Beltway all weekend long. Where do we stand?
Well, starting with some of the usual script when things happen in the national security circles these days, John, which is members of Congress on the Intelligence Committee going on television and griping that they didn't know sooner. And we had some of that this weekend. Senator Dianne Feinstein, chairman of the Intelligence Committee, wondering why if these emails were investigated as far back as the summer and members of the national security team knew about these allegations and the emails even before Election Eve, why they weren't told. That's one issue. Larger issue, of course, something that's in the headlines. Benghazi, an issue that's on the minds of a lot of voters, well, former voters from last week, and a lot of people in the national security circuit. There are hearings in Congress scheduled for this week on what happened in Benghazi with the CIA there and with military and State Department officials there, the four people, of course, killed, including the U.S. ambassador. David Petraeus was scheduled to testify. He will be no longer. Now, there are senators who expect David Petraeus still, as former head of the CIA, to testify and inform them in the future. They think that will not happen at Thursday's hearings, which are closed hearings, replaced by a guy named Mike Morrell, who, by the way, you're going to be hearing more about. He is going to step in as acting director. He is David Petraeus' deputy.
It's the second time he stepped in.
Exactly. He has before. He has a deep respect from the rank and file at the CIA. He's well known in Washington, somebody who people outside the Beltway probably haven't heard of too much. Mike Morrell, however, will be stepping in, we're told, to take General Petraeus' place at closed hearings on Benghazi this weekend, on Thursday, John.
Well, let's hear just how much of a shocker this was to Intelligence Committee Chair Dianne Feinstein.
It was like a lightning bolt. The way I found out, I came back to Washington Thursday night. Friday morning, the staff director told me there were a number of calls from press about this. I called David Petraeus.
That's Dianne Feinstein on Fox News Sunday. Now, let's get this clear. He is scheduled to testify in closed hearings on Thursday. It is believed he will not be called to testify, but that eventually his version of the Benghazi story, which he's believed not to be connected to, will be told by David Petraeus. Is that right?
That is what senators said in interviews on television over the weekend. And this might get a little more complicated than we know. What did David Petraeus know? And there is a Paula Broadwell connection here, John. One of the issues that you raised with Colonel Mansour there, it is unclear whether Paula Broadwell had access to some classified information, which would have been improper. That is still under investigation. It probably won't be investigated by the Senate committee, although it could be. One of the issues that is arising, at least in the press now, is that in a speech back at the University of Denver in October, Paula Broadwell mentioned some details in Benghazi and mentioned to her audience that David Petraeus was informed of the security status at the CIA annex in Benghazi within 24 hours. Now, that might conflict with some of the timelines that have come out of the White House. So the Paula Broadwell connection to General Petraeus seems to be interacting and intersecting with the Benghazi story in ways that will probably continue to develop. I don't know that in closed hearings this very Thursday that will be an issue. They seem to be more concerned with operational details, but senators say they're going to keep on this in the future, including, of course, the fact that they weren't informed sooner.
And, of course, what Broadwell knew could be a separate investigation of its own. Todd Zulick, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.